Welcome to A Course in Miracles. Okay, so we're in a section of the book where we're looking particularly at the obstacles to peace, and the biggest, quickest obstacle to peace is the body. That's what we're looking at now, in a physical form. There is an invisible obstacle to peace that we were looking at. The attraction to guilt. It's invisible, but it's so present. The crashing deal comes in and just puts his hand slowly around our neck and struggles and squeezes this attraction to guilt. We do attraction to pain also. It's invisible. It's quite active, but it's invisible. Well, there's this body thing. There's this promise of the world that since you are most intimately associated with a body, that the body has things to offer you. The body itself has things valuable to offer you. Course in Miracles wants you to look at that very carefully, about the values you expect the body to offer you. I'll remind you, the truth is invisible. Always remember, the truth itself is invisible. If you can see it, touch it, feel it, you are in the world, the domain of illusion. Now, we're very busy with illusion. There's a lot we can do with illusion. We're reflecting love here in this illusion. We are blocking love with the illusion. We're doing all sorts of great things with the illusion, and terrible things with the illusion. The point here is not to make the illusion disappear. If you could do that from a whole perspective, yes, okay. But you're so addicted to the illusion. It's like an alcoholic. The point with an alcoholic is not to make all alcohol on the planet poof away, because they are addicted to alcohol. If you take away, just remove it, coldly remove the alcohol, their cravings will continue. Their complaints will continue. Their suffering will continue. It will now not have any outlet. And I know some pretty serious alcoholics who are working their way through the program of AA. And I get this inside scoop that even though you've taken away the alcohol, the behavior that drove them to drink the alcohol is still there. Oh no! If you take away the body or the ego, that's our drug. This is Ego's Anonymous. You take away the ego, the very thing that drove you to occupy an ego is still there. We had a member here who explained that he very quickly took away the alcohol and very just as quickly took out the next drug. Something I injected, or something even I thought was worse. Very quickly, he says, oh yes, of course I did. But I definitely beat the alcohol. But then the ejection thing was... Oh. So we have a drug. And its manifestation is the body. And that's what we're focusing on these weeks right now, in this part of the book. Manifestation of the body. We witness the body personally. But I want you to also think about how potent it is to witness this block to love's awareness. Block to love's awareness in another body. Especially the ones you say you love. Especially the ones you say are really innocent. Those bodies should be getting all of God's love. Maybe you don't think you deserve all of God's love, but you're working on it, maybe one day. But they definitely do. Those, especially those. So, let's just think about that for a few moments, would you please? I'm going to use one of the lessons as our guided meditation, like we did last week. And let's just listen to what Lesson 161 has to say about all this.
Lesson 161. Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. Today we practice differently and take a stand against our anger, that our fears may disappear and offer room to love. Here is salvation in the simple words in which we practice today's idea. Here is the answer to temptation, which can never fail to welcome in the Christ where fear and anger had prevailed before. Here is atonement made complete, the world passed safely by, and heaven now restored. Here is the answer of the voice for God. Complete abstraction is the natural condition of the mind, but part of it is now unnatural. It does not look on everything as one. This part sees instead but fragments of the whole, for only thus could it invent the partial world you see. The purpose of all seeing is to show you what you wish to see. All hearing but brings to your mind the sounds it wants to hear. Thus were specifics made, and now it is specifics we must use in practicing. We give them to the Holy Spirit, that he may employ them for a purpose which is different from the one we gave to them. Yet the Holy Spirit can use but what we made to teach us from a different point of view, so we can see a different use in everything. One brother is all brothers. Every mind contains all minds, for every mind is one. Such is the truth. Yet do these thoughts make clear the meaning of creation? Do these words bring perfect clarity with them to you? What can they seem to be but empty sounds? Pretty perhaps, correct in sentiment, yet fundamentally not understood nor understandable. The mind that taught itself to think specifically can no longer grasp abstraction in the sense that it is all-encompassing. We need to see a little, that we learn a lot. It seems to be the body that we feel limits our freedom, makes us suffer, and at last puts out our life. Yet bodies are but symbols for a concrete form of fear. Fear without symbols calls for no response, for symbols can stand for the meaningless. Love needs no symbols, being true. But fear attaches to specifics, being false. Bodies attack, but minds do not. This thought is surely reminiscent of our text, where it is often emphasized. This is the reason bodies easily become fear's symbols. You have many times been urged to look beyond the body, for its sight presents the symbol of love's enemy Christ's vision does not see. The body is the target for attack, for no one thinks he hates a mind. Yet what but mind directs the body to attack? What else could be the seat of fear, except what thinks of fear? Hate is specific. There must be a thing to be attacked. An enemy must be perceived in such a form he can be touched and seen and heard and ultimately killed. When hatred rests upon a thing, it calls for death, as surely as God's voice proclaims there is no death. Fear is insatiable, consuming everything its eyes behold, seeing itself in everything, compelled to turn upon itself and to destroy. Who sees a brother as a body, sees him as fear's symbol. And he will attack, because what he beholds is his own fear external to himself, poised to attack, and howling to unite with him again. Mistake not the intensity of rage projected fear must spawn. It shrieks in wrath and claws the air in frantic hope it can reach to its maker and devour him. This do the body's eyes behold in one whom heaven cherishes, the angels love, and God created perfect. This is his reality, And in Christ's vision is his loveliness reflected in a form so holy and so beautiful that you could scarce refrain from kneeling at his feet. Yet you will take his hand instead, for you are like him in the sight that sees him thus. Attack on him is enemy to you, for you will not perceive that in his hands is your salvation. Ask him but for this, and he will give it to you. Ask him not to symbolize your fear. Would you request that love destroy itself? Or would you have it be revealed to you and set you free? Today, we practice in a form we have attempted earlier. Your readiness is closer now, and you will come today nearer Christ's vision. If you are intent on reaching it, you will succeed today. And once you have succeeded, you will not be willing to accept the witnesses your body's eyes call forth. What you will see will sing to you of ancient melodies you will remember. You are not forgot in heaven. Would you not remember it? Select one brother, symbol of the rest, and ask salvation of him. See him first as clearly as you can in that same form to which you are accustomed. See his face, his hands and feet, his clothing. Watch him smile, and see familiar gestures which he makes so frequently. Then think of this. What you are seeing now conceals from you the sight of one who can forgive you all your sins, whose sacred hands can take away the nails which pierce your own, and lift the crowns of thorns which you have placed upon your bleeding head. Ask this of him, that he may set you free. Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God. I would behold you with the eyes of Christ and see my perfect sinlessness in you. And he will answer whom you called upon, for he will hear the voice for God in you and answer in your own. Behold him now, who you have seen as merely flesh and bone, and recognize that Christ has come to you. Today's idea is your safe escape from anger and from fear. Be sure you use it instantly, should you be tempted to attack a brother and perceive in him the symbol of your fear. And you will see him suddenly transformed from enemy to savior, from the devil into Christ.
Picture somebody with whom you have a difficulty in your life. They can be alive or dead. Picture somebody with whom you have a difficulty in your life. And know that behind this appearance, this image you hold in your mind, behind this appearance you hold in your mind, and beyond this appearance of their body that you hold in your mind, is their true self. A holiness as holy as your true self. It's blocked by what you see as a form. See this form anyhow, because it's what you can. And know that beyond it and behind it is a holiness, that were you to witness it, you could scarcely refrain from dropping to your knees in the glow of the Spirit that it is. But instead, you just take its hand, because that's where you are. You would take hands, and you would ask this of this person with your whole heart, having just been touched by the holiness that's behind that image, you ask this, you say, give me your blessing, Holy Son of God, that I may be saved. Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God, that I may be saved from that very person. The way through is understanding, not avoiding. We would face things of this world with our Holy Spirit coaching us, so that the difficulties that our ego is showing us are transformed. The difficulties do not disappear. That would be magic. But their effects do. That would be a miracle. Because we're changing what it means to us. Therefore, we change its effect. That's the Holy Spirit's job. So a beautiful lesson 161 goes right at it. And it says, you pick somebody, you have a problem. And it says, this now is the giver of your salvation. It's the perfect block to your happiness, because they're taking your peace somehow. But from the author's perspective, what's behind that image is holiness itself. It's the world says that that's sinful. The world says that that's a perfect block to your happiness. The world says that that SOB deserves punishment only. But if we're going to wake up, if we're to come into our spiritual awareness, then we need to learn to see through, behind, and beyond. And when you can, it's amazing how close you can get to something that was your absolute enemy or difficulty. And suddenly there's more there, even though the surface problems do not disappear. But there's something behind it. You never could deny it, and you can't deny it now. But now you don't need to. You can actually touch it silently. You can touch it. And it's very comforting that the truth has shown back up with this person that seemed to be such a problem. Yes?
I have a good example of that happened to me. Mm. Yesterday, I was at the gym, and there's a guy that I've never talked to, and I've seen him, and it's like I have, you know, opinions about how he looks. Like, I don't like his headphones, and he always seems real serious, and I have this whole story about that.
Yeah,
you know, and I noticed this guy, and I've never talked to him. And I was leaving one of the rooms, coming around the corner, and he comes towards me, and we were both coming towards the door at the same time, and I just backed up, and I went like that, and he had this smile, and he had this really nice smile, and this, it's like I totally connected with him with that smile. And my whole feeling about him changed just in, you know, a nanosecond.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yes.
So that all of that story just, like, disappeared.
Yes. In an instant.
In an instant.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Beautiful.
How that happens.
You bet. Yes. Very good. Yes. And how it can erase all of the formed opinions so quickly shows the power of a holy instant of recognition. That's what a miracle is this shift in perception that erases the made up, the illusion.
The illusion, yeah. The illusion is how it can. It shows you the absurdity of the illusion.
Yes. 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 And up until that smile, there were pages, let's say, of justification that this is probably an SOB. I don't want him or any of my family anywhere near him.
Yeah.
Pages.
Yeah. I could have written, an essay.
Yes. Go ahead.
So during the recording, I chose my brother, who I've been estranged from over a year. Mm. And I went to him, and I saw behind him, and I asked him to bless me, and he wouldn't do it. Mm. The only thing I can think of that made me feel really sad, because I realized how much I craved it. The only thing I could think of was something about that came from my own ego, and I don't know what it was.
Yes. Yes. What happened there is there was another story was brought in about what his blessing would look like. Indeed, that's where the story came from. Is it is the desire to have a picture of an outcome, and that love would come to you.
Yes.
Okay. And so what we're exercising here is that the problem remains. Your brother still stands there like this, whatever it is you've got your picture in. Okay. But what you see behind him is smiling, is spirit. But he's still doing, I'm telling you, the problems. The problem didn't change. The world's still going to be the world. It's still coming the way it always has in its form. We are taking a spiritual view of that form, and it looks like light. And that is the holiness that we are appealing to. And that holiness, when you see the holiness now, it is the blessing. It only blesses just by its presence. Do you see?
So I have to separate.
Yes.
The humanness of my brother from the holiness.
Amen.
Of
him. You got it.
And then I have to realize that the holiness of him is always blessing me.
Yes.
The humanness, it isn't.
Correct. Okay. In fact, his humanness is always wrong. It's always, this is a quote from the book, he's always wrong, but his holiness is always right.
So for me, then, the biggest lesson about that whole thing is, if I turn around and looked at myself and how I treat myself, behind that is the holiness too.
That's correct.
Okay.
And in order to turn around from yourself that coulda, shoulda, woulda done better. Okay?
Wants to, but didn't.
Yeah, but didn't. You know? To turn around from that to see behind, you would need a miracle. A shift in perception about that in that moment. But don't worry. Miracles are present all the time. And as you access the Holy Spirit in you, it's right there to talk you through it. It's right there to feel you through it, to show you. The light has come into that particular darkness.
So I have something that happened to me today while I was doing my lesson.
Yes, good.
And I don't believe in anything but synchronicity, so I think somehow the lesson relates. So I want you to tell me how, because I can't get it yet. Mm. I've been in many groups, my therapy groups and other groups at ITP where I got my doctorate, in which they say, close your eyes and let the light come and spread it as far as you want to spread, something to that effect. Mm-hmm. And it never does. Never does. Mm-hmm. So things come, and sometimes different colors, but never white light. Mm-hmm. So this morning, I was I'm on that part where it says I am holy, and spend 15 minutes letting yourself know that you're going to be the savior of the world, or are the savior of the world. So I closed my eyes, and it was dark, except it looked like a black eye, and way in the pupil of it was a little tiny bit of gray. And so I thought, well, if I'm going to see light, I've got to get to that gray where it's not gray anymore. And then the dinger went off. I was trying and trying and trying, and the dinger went off. And what I realized is every time I've been in one of those situations where they say, find the white light in you, the light of God, I think my ego comes and says, you can't do that. And I've believed it every single time.
Yes.
So today when I couldn't do it, I said, oh my God, that's my ego telling me I can't do that. How does that relate to 161? Because I feel like it does somehow.
It does in this way. The ego and your ideas are busy with a coming back to you. That the white light, that you would see it coming to you somehow. And with what you're being asked to do, when we say, see yourself as the light of the world, see your holiness. There is a shift that occurs. See, the ego looks out there and receives from out there. Your holiness is in, down and in, not up and out or anywhere, but down and in, and it becomes present. From your holiness, you see your holiness, not from your vision. Do you see your holiness?
So when you say down in...
Yes?
What always comes to me is down in for me is that's how I use my body, is to go down in.
Good.
And that's what I think the value of the body is, which is why I think I mostly treasure my body. Because without it, I don't know how I would... I don't know if I would ever see the light of my being.
Yes, so you will learn that your being indeed is something that can be felt, but it is not felt by your body.
Okay.
You do have a being that will be felt. Some will call it the soul. Soul's been carefully removed from A Course in Miracles for all of its different meanings and how easily it gets misunderstood. But it's a great bridge. The soul is a bridge between the material and the spiritual. And so you will be experiencing, I'll call it your soul for now, your being. But it will not be your body. When you awaken to it, you will recognize the body's not feeling it. Same with your holiness. Your holiness will be an awareness that occurs to you that will be a vision and not a sight. That's why I say that when you envision a person in your mind for lesson 161, we're just using that as a that picture of them and their hair and their body, where their typical clothes are. That picture is a symbol, and then you go right beyond it and behind it, see? And you're not seeing anymore with your eyes, even in your mind, right? It's your mind now is understanding what is beyond them. And that's what vision is. Check my words now. Vision is understanding. Light in this book, light equals understanding. So, we'll now go away from seeing with the body's eyes to vision with the mind. And it's a knowing.
Well, that's a huge relief.
Your holiness is a knowing.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so personal.
Knowing I can get you on a page.
Very good. Very good. So that's where you're going. And that's what a holy instant is a knowing.
I used to have something similar when I used to meditate, where I used to have this feeling like, if I can't give it my full attention, if I get distracted, then I'm not going to be able to like relax enough to get to, you know, and so I would think, well, I just can't do this, you know, and I stopped. And then at a certain point, it's like your true nature, which is the understanding, which is, you know, light, whatever, does not go away. So you don't necessarily even have to give it your full attention. You just have to be able to tap into that feeling. Yes. And all the other thoughts can be there.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
So it's not about not being able to do it or yes. not being capable of doing it.
Yes.
Because we all have that capacity within us that's yes. always there that never leaves.
That's correct. And there is an acceptance, if you will, and I really don't like that word a lot, so I use it very carefully. There's an acceptance that it's present. And that you could reach it fully. When that doubt is removed, even though you haven't reached it for 3 weeks, but the honest idea that you could is enormous in your spiritual progress.
Yeah. Because, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to take any length of time to reach it.
Very good. That's right. In fact, I was experimenting with that very concept, my meditations, and I set my timer to 17 seconds because somebody said, Abraham or somebody else says, if you can hold a thought for 17 seconds, I just picked that number, 17, fine. This is great. And instead of doing my meditation where I would try to get it on still, bring it on, let me get in the groove, let me go, so many minutes later, I said, I'm going to surrender for 17 seconds. I can barely even take a breath in that much time. Guess what? I was able to drop into that awareness so quickly because I knew it was only 70s. I better get serious right now. I only got a breath to do it in. Beep, 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 beep. try it again. Yeah. Just to prove that point.
Yeah.
And I have to say, wonderfully, that I found that I could very quickly drop into samadhi, the awareness of this, very quickly. Just because it's true. And those thoughts, all those thoughts, you can actually just shelf them right now and drop into simplicity. I was like, oh, good deal.
What does it mean when it says, paragraph 5, yet bodies are but symbols for a concrete form of fear? Fear without symbols calls for no response. But the line before, yet bodies are but symbols for a concrete form of fear.
Yes. Yeah. So now it's dropping bodies down to their practical use. And that is, you know, the material level, material form, has a victim. Fear is only potent because something loses, and it loses measurably. It gets hurt. And the body is the thing in the dream that gets hurt. The body is the symbol now, is a form now of something that loses. Fear itself is just this recognition of loss. But if you didn't have, let's say, auto insurance rates are going to triple next month, but you don't have a car. That's, hey, sorry to hear about your auto insurance. It's horrible. I mean, that's terrible. But I'm not. Have a car. I'm taking the bus forever. It's terrible that you have auto insurance. That must be bad for you. Right? Well, I do have a body. And so your body, as long as you think you have a body and are invested in it, this is the thing that fear acts on. This is the thing that calculates fear. It's a concrete representation of fear's power and effects. Is the body.
And isn't it almost always about the future?
Oh, yeah.
The reason I say that is I ran into a deer a few months ago.
Yes.
And it was so fast, I saw this brown body in front of me.
Yeah.
And I hit it.
Uh-huh.
And later I thought, you know, I didn't have time to be afraid. And the truth is, nothing bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my car got totaled, but nothing really bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought if I'd had time, I would have gotten afraid. And probably wouldn't have had anything bad happen anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I just would have been afraid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could have done a bunch of worrying and and storytelling and assigning a bunch of meaning, it didn't exist.
What happened to the deer?
I don't know. I think it bounced off of my car because I kept, my car ran fine. I just kept going and I didn't run over anything. And I called the highway patrol on my phone while I was driving and left a message. They never called me back and told me about security.
That's amazing.
My son is a deputy sheriff in San Mateo County, and he says he can't tell me how many times he's seen a deer that have been hit, and 5 minutes later they get up and run away. So somehow either they're very resilient or they go off and die somewhere else.
So when they say the gift of vision, that's a knowing.
Yes. Yes, an understanding and a knowing. That's correct.
Okay, that's relieving, isn't it?
For me, I'm looking for the vision.
Kenny, would you hit the lights, please? Everybody turn to workbook, page 304.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Workbook 304.
Lesson.
It's a different lesson. Yeah, in the lessons, page 304. Page 304. Aren't you tempted to say that, Julie? I mean, I know you are. You could, you know, say it.
Why not just say it?
It'd be so helpful, like Walt's going, I'm not sure what page you're going to admit it, but Walt, I'm not sure which now. But you could help him.
You've been recruiting for a year now. I can't. I'm often out of this one. I talk enough in this group. I gotta save my words.
That's where your lesson was.
Lesson number 161. Anthony, you want to read this for us? We're going to go paragraph. I'm going to stop you after each paragraph. Okay. We'll chat a little bit.
Give me your blessing, Holy Son of God.
Yep.
Today we practice differently and take a stand against our anger, that our fears may disappear and offer room to love. Here is salvation in the simple words in which we practice with today's idea. Here is the answer to temptation, which can never fail to welcome in the Christ where fear and anger have prevailed before. Here is atonement made complete. The world passed safely by and heaven now restored. Here is the answer of a voice for God.
And elsewhere, I think it probably just even a few lessons before, but it says the only thing for you to do with the world is pass it by. Whoa. Permission to just pass it by. I mean, if it really is nothing, it's just a dream. You don't need to fix a dream. You don't need to invest any more in a dream. You just wake up. The Course says this a couple of places. But you can't forgive something you think is valuable. You can't forgive something you're sure is real. That would be crazy. You gotta get a culture, though. See, if things are real, you gotta, you know, work on them and hold on to them and love them and take care of them and benefit from them and benefit for them if you think they're real. So honestly, we would need a miracle to see the world differently and for you to be free. The whole deal is you come home with a free conscience and some good stories. But this is how we do it. We're going to peel back these lies about what's going on here one at a time, and here comes another one. Please continue.
Complete abstraction is the natural condition of the mind, but part of it is now unnatural. It does not look on everything as one. It sees instead but fragments of the whole, for only thus could it invent the partial world you see. The purpose of all seeing is to show you what you wish to see. All hearing but brings to your mind the sounds it wants to hear.
Yes. Okay. Right in your face, very practical here.
You wouldn't believe them. My daughter says, you never listen to me. And I'm thinking, yeah, but you don't listen to me either. It's because neither one of us want to hear what the other one's saying.
Yeah.
At times.
Yes.
But what does that mean? The purpose of all seeing is to show you what you wish to see.
Yes.
What does that mean?
that is because you as a creator send out witnesses. You tell them what to witness, and they come back saying, "I found it." You sent out to search. You send your perception is like sending out workers who are supposed to bring back. If it's fear you're after, they'll bring back fear. They'll say, "I found something for you to be afraid of. You were right. You were so right. This SOB is after you." Guess what they said? I saw this little when they said thank you, they kind of squeezed one eye. They didn't mean it. I found it. But if you're looking for love, the same experience. Now they were witnesses. You send out your perceptions will witness the love. Wow, they really said thank you. And it was hard for them, I think, because of all we've been through. But things are changing now. I'm going to thank them back.
Yes. Well, couldn't that be as much of an illusion as, we see what we want to see, basically. The world reflects back to us what's inside of us internally, and then we look for proof. Yes. We look for proof to prove what it is, our suspicions and our fears and all stuff like that out in the world.
Yes.
And you use kind of like clues and, you know, things happen somebody might say something or, you know, cut you off in traffic and, you know, that's like proof that, all people are assholes or something like that.
And there's only two choices. They're all assholes or they're all saints. There's only two choices.
Right.
Or each one. It's either one or the other. And there really isn't any in between. Right?
No, I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think there's a certain level when you're dispassionate about things, when you're really present.
Yes.
You might not interpret it as anything.
Okay.
What somebody said to you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know?
Yes. And so...
Saying where you see love in everything.
Yes.
Where you want to see love in everything, and it is possible to do that. It's not necessarily seeing the world the way it is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Wait a minute, though. If everyone is of the same mind and the mind is love, if you are really wanting to see love and you do see it, you're seeing truth, aren't you?
I don't know.
Well, I think that's the whole purpose of what we're trying to do.
Maybe.
Yeah, but then we just do the exercise, you see past that image and what's behind.
And if you send out something that you think is love and it comes back different, then you're not really sending love out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. Answer to it.
It's very honest. I love the way you phrased it, because it puts us right in the challenge. Is that, are there neutral things, or the things that don't mean anything?
Well, I mean, it's like, Adi Ashanti, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or Eckhart Tolle. I've seen him speak too, and there's a they have this way about them that's very neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So people might compliment them and say something nice to them, and they don't take it like, they don't interpret that as nice.
Mm-hmm.
They hear the words, they aren't necessarily, because there's people have motives for different things, and so just because a person is being nice or being kind doesn't necessarily mean that they actually are kind.
But Ajahn Shanti always says, "I say back to people what I am told is about them, that they need."
Mm-hmm.
And he has said things, if you've been in his groups enough, you've heard him say something to somebody that when you're saying the same thing to him, it's a whole different answer.
Mm-hmm.
They do it based on what they think is the best thing to say to you to help you get past that step. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so in this book, there is only two possible emotions. Fear and love. And it says on page 1, it says, fear is the opposite of love, comma. But what is all-encompassing can have no opposite. It's saying tons about what love is right there. Yes?
So that line, the purpose of all seeing is to show you what you wish to see, and all hearing, that brings to mind the whole idea of, like, we see what we want to see. And it's also on page X, what's that, 10? Yeah. It says, what perception sees and hears appears to be real because it permits into awareness only what conforms to the wishes of the perceiver.
Yes,
this leads to a world of illusions, a world which needs constant defense precisely because it is not real. But the other part goes along.
That's perfectly said.
Yeah.
That's perfectly said. That's right.
Yeah.
And I...
Yeah. Yeah.
From what I was hearing, not with what you just said, but what was going on between you two, all I was thinking was, well, wait a minute, you're hearing what you want to hear, you're seeing what you want to see, you're hearing what you want to hear, you're seeing what you want to see, and that's keeping you trapped in what you were talking about earlier, is form.
Yes.
It's a form of what is here right now, and what the whole lesson is to see beyond the form.
Amen. That's it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And so it's not neutral. If it's form, it's not neutral.
Not true.
It's not true. And it is a block to the awareness of love's presence. So if you can see it, it's not neutral. It's being held as form. And you know this is true when you see the light behind something. You say, what have I been blocking? And yes.
Like you can see it. You know, somebody that is maybe short-tempered or impatient with you, and you can still see the love behind that person.
Just like that.
Yeah.
You could witness to the poor language they used interspersed with your name, and you can attack them for that. You'd be justified in many viewpoints. But if the honesty is you can see the love behind it, no desire to attack at all. At all. In fact, your compassion is doubled because they've gone as far as using bad language, which they don't usually use. They're really in pain. What they need is love. How can I show up a little more right now? Yeah. That's how we move into a holy relationship. A special relationship would defend, and a holy relationship would join.
I just
join.
Had a thought. No,
yes.
What we have sinned about is separation. And that sin is our agony.
Say that again.
Okay. In the past, I've heard our only sin is
sin.
The choice of separation.
Yeah.
And that choice is keeping us in agony.
Yes. Yes, that's right. Yeah. In fact, should I take you to the page, or should I just tell you? You guys like to go to the pages and see it printed, or you just want me to tell you
I've seen in the book.
You want to see it in the book?
Yeah.
Okay, turn to page 552. Hold your finger here.
In the lesson?
I'd like to see it too. I think you should see it in your own book, right? In the text.
Point of clarification, though, is that it wasn't a sin either, because, like, there is no sin.
Yes.
But your word of choice is a good one.
Yes.
A choice.
That's right.
Yeah.
And you made something. You made something that you think can block happiness. Yeah, so turn to page 552 in the text.
I call the transition, chapter 26.
Yep.
Okay.
And look what it says on paragraph 13, sentence 1. You want to read that for us, Luann? Mm-hmm.
Each day and every minute in each day and every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. Oh my God.
Yeah. Sounds so good.
Whoa, busted.
So you die each day to live again until you cross the gap between the past and present, which is not a gap at all. Such is life, a seeming interval from birth to death and on to life again, a repetition of an instant gone by long ago that cannot be relived, and all of time is but the mad belief that what is over is still here and now.
Like that. Each day every minute in each day, every instant that each minute holds, you but relive the single instant when the time of terror took the place of love. There's the world, there's separation, all happening in a made-up interval. What?
What a nightmare.
What a nightmare.
It just, you know, I can feel it in my stomach. It hurts.
Yes.
It's like Hellraiser.
And I love that, that the perspective of this author... And this author sees it as a journey that you're taking. Could be lifetimes. But it's a journey without distance. From this author's perspective, the enlightened, awakened mind, this time of terror, in each instant, you've blocked love and you've made time. You've made time and space through which it'll take time to travel and effort. And there's a future when you'll be awakened and in love, but right now you're going to have to deal with the present. So it seems. And your body is going to have to somehow make it through. Somebody said fear is always of the future. Yeah.
You know, I've experienced a lot of lifetimes, not a lot, a number of lifetimes with my therapist, not ever on my own.
Yeah.
And the first one I did was, I was a Jewish woman, my favorite son got killed by the Romans, and I rejected God. And I think the allegory about that was that instant that you're talking about. Mm-hmm. When I rejected God, The story is, I did it to myself.
Yes. Yes, and then looked for ways to justify what you had decided to do, and found them. And so now the body became this perfect symbol of fear. And then the next body, the next body, the next body, and you just kept proving it over and over and over. And you got what you wanted. Good job! It's just lacking the love that you would need to be. And so you're actually not in this form. You're not you. That's going to get old fast. The book says, you only, don't worry, you only have so much tolerance for pain, it says. You're coming home. Enlightenment's coming. You'll give up the whole body nightmare. You can only put up with it for so long. The author knows. I think that's really cute when it says that. It's just you're suffering for the rest of the... Yeah.
You think that's why, is that the Hindu religion or Buddha religion? Means when they say you live 10,000 lifetimes, I guess you live until you can't handle it anymore and choose not to believe in it anymore.
Yeah, you know, when it says that, the key to that passage, to those passages, and also with the Bodhisattva vow, which is to me the most extreme one of those, is that it's unachievable. 10,000 lifetimes, that's too many to count.
And, like infinity.
And that's the whole idea, is that you give up the idea of having lifetimes that would somehow complete something. It's here now. When you awaken, it's inclusive.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. Okay, back
to... Did you say something like you just get tired of all the voices? Do you ever just get tired of them? You just go like, oh, God.
Yes. That relates back to what Mark was saying earlier, is that you, all those voices could still be there and still have all their issues, but somewhat underneath you know that there is a holiness in you. There's a wholeness in you that's unaffected by them. There's a stillness that's there. If you would only get there, you would then experience it, but you know you could get there, you're just not getting there now. That, when you're all tired of all the voices, you could drop into it with a big sigh. And you go, what was I doing?
No, but you can also drop into it with the voices there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can just let the voices be there and then drop into it.
Yes, turns out that's an easy way to do it.
Yeah.
That's right. Put them front and center, but awaken to what's holding them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hope that's right.
Lesson.
Yeah.
What did you say?
Yeah.
Whole point of the lesson.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right there.
Bring it present. Bring it right in front of you. In fact, take the worst one.
Because in that form that's sitting right in front of you, you can just, okay, there it is, whatever, but looking all around it is what's holy.
Bingo. Yes.
Very good. I think the hard part of that one, Anthony, is looking all around you and knowing you're the one that you're looking at all around in.
Yeah, you're trying to include yourself. Yeah,
that's kind of
that's kind of hard sometimes.
Yeah.
How do you trust Jesus who's watching the watcher?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's good. Okay, let's continue on page 304. Who's up to bat?
Leroy.
Oh, yeah, by the way, so that first couple words on paragraph 2, complete abstraction is the natural condition of the mind.
Yeah.
Big clue on the metaphysics of your being. Big clue. How much detail do you focus on? When the natural condition of the mind is complete abstraction. Can you even fathom what that means from your linear world that could figure out what letter's missing when I say A, B, D, E? Wait, he missed one.
C.
Kill him, he said. Yeah, it's like that. Can you even be perfectly abstract? How free would it be to not be held down to the linear requirement of this world?
How free would it be if you couldn't have figured out this deep?
Wouldn't even need to.
So does that mean a complete abstraction is talking about like a fragmentation, like where you're just not feeling unconnected and not, and so your mind just kind of like darts around and it's not focused on necessarily on one thing?
It means it's not trapped in the linear.
Oh, okay.
It means it's a complete embrace of all possibilities.
Okay.
Like anybody who here does, is everybody here have something creative that they've ever done or like to do? I'm not going to quiz you on it. I just want you to touch that. Maybe it's baking or sculpting or painting or music, especially if it's music. Have you ever created your own little riff? Or if you're a writer and you've made a beautiful sentence that nobody's ever written before? You know what I'm talking about? That came from abstraction. It came, you committed it to the canvas or to the word or to the notes. But it came from unlimited possibilities. That's your natural state. That moment of creation right before you see what you're creating. How free is that? Can you touch that? Just for a moment, can you touch that freedom? Right before you have it, this commitment, this creative thing, whatever it is.
That's that moment of joy, isn't it?
Yes! It's joyful, it's just powerful. It's spacious, it's unlimited, it's potential, it's converging, it's including, and yet, it's nothing you can put your... There's no shape to it yet. Can you feel that?
Yeah.
Well, I've felt it before.
That's what I'm talking about.
Particularly in music, for example.
Particularly. Are you a musician?
Yeah, that was my degree, is in music.
Oh! Cool as that. We're going to have fun with that one. Nice. Nice. Yeah, music, I think music is this whole... Anyway, we'll get on that later. All right. So next up, paragraph 3, I think.
Okay. Thus were specifics made, and now it is specifics that we must use in practicing. To give them to the Holy Spirit, that he may employ them for a purpose which is different from the one we gave them. Yet he can use but what we made to teach us from a different point of view, so we can see a different use in everything.
Yes, very good. And now to brothers. Walt.
One brother is all brothers. Every mind contains all minds, for every mind is one. Such is the truth. Yet do these thoughts make clear the meaning of creation? Do these thoughts bring perfect clarity with them to you?
Oops.
Words.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What can they seem to be but empty sounds? Pretty, perhaps, correct in sentiment, yet fundamentally not understood nor understandable.
Don't you love it when the Course points out your struggle? I just love it. I think, well, I'm not really following. Oh, he says, I know you're not following. Oh.
Oh.
He says he knows it. That's joining. That is a teacher joining you where you are. I just think it's grand. All right, let's continue.
The mind that taught itself to think specifically can no longer grasp abstraction in the sense that it is all-encompassing. We need to see a little, but we learn a lot.
Wow! Met you where you are, reframed the problem into a mind that has thought about, that has now devoted to specifics. You know who you are. Who you, who have a mind that's devoted to specifics, know who you are. Quick, what's your home address? Do you have a phone number? How many kids do you have? Did you forget one? 1, 2, 3. No, it wasn't 3, it was 4 kids. You're devoted to specifics. It's your sanity. So he's talking to you. He's talking to you. He knows how drunk you are on separation. And specifics is one great way to see just how separated you are. Elsewhere it talks about names of things. Another lesson talks about that you give things names. I'm going to pick one, right? You guys don't know what I'm going to pick, but I'm going to pick something. I'm going to pick, say, carpet. Oh, everybody. Boom. So quickly did you give that specific. It's got a value. You have a carpet at home? Does it have a stain on it? What if it did?
It does.
Oh! Who was it that had Kim? Kim did the red wine on the white carpet at a party. So we talked about carpet stains and like, oh, she was an invited guest and she did that. Oh, do we have
did some, it intentionally?
Her elbow and oh no. It was
actually her hostess' problem because her hostess should never put a white carpet in her room.
It should not be serving. Right. You don't serve red wine with white carpet. You know that.
Yeah.
All this guilt was wrong. Probably you could spin around. Oh my God, so much.
Oh my God.
Yes, but anyway, so the words and separation is so upheld. I'm busting the ego here, with the specifics. The natural state of your mind is not specifics. Specifics are hell.
And they cause separation.
Yeah, something to fight over.
Because you could have said, how many children do you have? And every child is my child.
Okay. And you don't even know the number. What kind of mother are you?
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, you don't tell. I'm just calling as I see it. Who doesn't know how many kids they have?
God. Here comes your musical analogy when you're talking about specifics, because one of the greatest moments I ever had music was I was playing a jazz trio over at Hoffman's. Mm. And my friend Mark Corseps on bass, but very rarely play with him, and it was this kid drummer I'd never met before. So we'd never rehearsed, we'd never done anything. Mm. And we would play the tune, which is specific on the page, and it was magical. As soon as we got through with that, it was instantly this conversation going on in music. Mm-hmm. You could hear things going from person to person. You know, there's nothing specific. It's just something that's instantly happening, and it was one of the most amazing performances I'd ever been a part of.
Wow.
And I had no idea who was listening, but the three of us were listening, because after that set, we were like, because the conversation was just so pure right there.
Yeah.
And you weren't reading notes off the page. It was pure improvisation. And this conversation going on between the three of us, and it blew me. It just was mind blowing.
Pure improvisation that was not predicted, and the result was a pattern that was fully appreciated.
Between the three of us, at least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, between three of you, sure. There was a pattern that was committed. Mm. It was from the abstract, from the non-abstract.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It was absolutely, that's where it had to have come from.
It had to come from that, yeah. Nobody designed that. Yeah, yeah. That's a big clue.
That was music in a pure form.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's good.
Yeah.
I love that. Okay, let's continue. Paragraph 5.
Yeah, 1 second. Writing. Okay.
Sure, sure.
It seems to be the body that we feel limits our freedom, makes us suffer, and at last puts out our life. Yet bodies are but symbols for a concrete form of fear. Fear without symbols calls for no response, for symbols can stand for the meaningless. Love needs no symbols, being true, but fear attaches to specifics, being false.
Yes, just like that. As we discussed that already. You give it a symbol, and now the symbol can stand for the meaningless, but the symbol gets all the attention and seems real. Yep, yep. It's the way you can distract yourself away from truth.
But it came from an abstraction.
Yeah, everything comes from extraction. That's right. Dreams or truth. But this is pointing out is that we move from extraction into a committed linear or symbol. And now you're stuck. The abstraction's been left behind, and we're staying with the symbol.
Like you said, we're limited.
And we're limited now. That's correct.
We're limited if it's not freedom.
That's correct.
But we're not free.
That's correct.
Hey, good. That's what bothers me so much about all this talk about, illegal immigrants and stuff. Mm-hmm. It's like they're turned into a symbol. Mm-hmm. And so something part of me, really sees that whole discussion as, kind of trivial, meaningless. The reducing people to a symbol just really demeans the whole idea of people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, of what people, what beings are, what each person's individuality, their uniqueness, just the...
Yes. Their holiness.
Their holiness, yes. Is, right, right.
Yeah.
Their holiness.
Yeah, they've been dropped into specifics.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Yeah. So when you do this lesson 161 exercise, you can do it with that. You can do it with... silent is actually better than trying to go see this person in person. So take him into meditation, or if you pass their house or something, it's a great time to just draw your attention, picture that person, and send the energy and say, give me your blessing. Dock a kid who's struggling to find their parents or whatever it is. Would you please, child, or whatever, give me your blessing? In your mind. In your mind. You ask them for the blessing that would save you. You ask them who you think is weak or horrible, the last person who should bless anybody, you ask them to give you the blessing you need. It is a way to have a miracle occur. You're appealing to a part of your mind that's connected to the truth. You're going right behind the image.
You're giving the blessing to yourself. It's not actually them giving it to you.
That is correct.
It's actually just acknowledging what's already there.
And the blessing is given by your knowing that the holiness is present.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you can't see it with your eyes, mm-hmm. but that's correct. It turns out it comes from in you. The blessing comes from in you with this willingness to picture it coming from them.
Mm-hmm.
The truth is,
it does come from them because they and you are one.
Yes.
So therefore, if you ask someone for their blessing, you're asking yourself also.
They and you are one, and in that moment, you're joining with the oneness, and their otherness disappears.
Yeah.
Their otherness disappears. They no longer have a face. Neither do you. In that moment, the holiness is one. You may have entered it with two faces, but you leave with one.
Yeah.
So when I was looking beyond my brother and saw the holiness,
yes,
I was looking into myself as well as into him.
It's true. Your true self. That's correct.
Probably that's why I felt like crying, because I don't give that to myself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And it's very hard to give to yourself, because you know yourself a little too well, and you don't deserve it.
Yeah.
according to ego. I mean, don't we all know? I mean, the ego. The ego's been keeping tabs.
Help, I want to be somebody else.
Exactly, right? The ego is keeping tabs on you. And your transgressions and the things you could have, should have,
and everything it wants to be able to attack. It
that's
says,
right.
I've got to go after that one. I've got to go after that one. Those are wonderful ideas that she's got about herself, but not from my point of view.
It's part of the ego survival is that you don't qualify for love. It's part of the ego survival.
And that's why people think the way you're saying they shouldn't think. Their ego requires that they think of these migrants as being less than.
Yeah.
A Course in Miracles will have you do is to sort of go past trying to do it for yourself by finding out how honestly you want it for somebody else.
Yeah.
One of the things that I did with it, which was kind of was intentional, but I think I knew I was onto something, but I didn't continue to do it, was that I was at the gym, and that's during the day, that's where I see the most people. So a couple of times I was practicing, every time I saw somebody that I had like an opinion about, I tried to imagine that person smiling at me.
Mm-hmm. Wow, very good.
And that kind of worked.
Yes.
Because it's kind of similar to what you're asking a person to smile at you is a blessing in a sense.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Perfectly done. That's right.
And it actually worked, but I didn't keep it up. But I noticed the shift when I did that.
Yes.
Like, okay, really, you had to really kind of actively imagine that person smiling at you, like they're really doing it.
Yes.
And that worked. You know, it's like, okay, wow.
Yes. So I want to point out to you right now, what the Course talks about as the law of love.
Mm-hmm.
You just did it. And it is this. As you give, you gave them a smile, you receive.
Right.
You invented that.
Yeah.
You didn't even see their face.
Right.
But you gave love, and immediately, didn't even get to them that you received it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the lifting you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And that will be witnessing to what the Course calls this law of God. This law of mind. You used your mind to do this. Mm-hmm. And then you witness this power.
Mm-hmm.
And your spirit lifted. So it's also the law of spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So you accessed your actual being, your true being, mm-hmm. the dynamics of your the gift that is the your spirit and love, you witness right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pretty powerful.
Because, feeling like judging people does not, it feels good in some respects because you feel powerful.
Yes.
But it doesn't feel good, ultimately.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
what does feel good is like a blessing. That feels good. That does not, that's infinite.
Yes. So I talk about we're all on a staircase, and there's only got two directions. There's up and there's down.
Mm-hmm.
And judgment is down. It's quite easy to go down. You could jog it even. No, whoa, but it's dark and it feels depressing and you're going down.
And it's finite. There's no release from it.
Yeah.
You trap your energy. You become frustrated. Angry.
Yeah, it's not getting you what you really want.
Yeah.
Even though it came quick.
Yeah.
And there was a short-term gratification of look at how fast I could go down.
Right.
But what you really wanted was up.
Yeah.
The minute you turn and take one step up, it takes effort now, but it's worth it. The relief was instant, and the reassurance that this is what I truly want comes with going up. And that's why we're here on a spiritual awakening. Because the material investment ain't working so good. That's going down. That's going away from God, away from love, away from oneness, away from what you truly are, is the investment in the material. You can still do it, the material, but only after the miracle. That changes your perception of material. Like what we're doing here with your brother in this lesson. with the somebody other than you. Yes, Lisa.
Can you go over that bit again where the ego has to keep you not worthy? And elaborate on that a little bit.
Yes. So the ego, the ego's existence requires that you are have a deficiency, that you need help, or that you don't deserve love, or you are ugly, or you are old or poor or separate in some way from happiness or deserving love. It needs that to survive, because the ego is a thought system that says you exist only as apart from everything else. How can I prove you're apart from somebody from everything else? Because you can't join. You're not worth joining. You don't deserve it. You're not capable. You're too old, fat, tall, short, ugly, too male, too female.
Guilty.
Too guilty of something. Yeah. You're guilty of something.
That's just a logical extension of what your eyes see. You see things that are separate.
Exactly. And they're all different.
But also, you know, there's... Werner Erhard talks about that we all have this kind of pervasive or prevailing feeling like that something's wrong.
Yes.
And we have to fix it.
Yes.
That's right. The ego.
Yes.
There's something wrong with the with whatever. We wake up into that in the morning.
Yes. Yes.
Before we decide, you know, I'm better than that. We wake up and we say, you know, not everybody jumps out of bed and goes, great day. You know, most people jump out of the bed and go, gotta do this.
Fall out of bed.
Right? So we wake up into this feeling of there's something, we don't know what it is, but it's an existential feeling of something's wrong.
Yes.
Something's wrong. And I need to fix it.
I need to fix it.
And that's what the ego comes in and tries to fix it. And we're always trying to fix it. It's nothing's ever good enough.
Yes.
Things are just around the corner. Once you get there for a moment, then suddenly you're depressed.
Yep.
Because you can't, you know, you've been struggling to get to this place that you thought you were going to get to one day.
Yes.
And then you get there, and then you get depressed because that's not what... You know,
it didn't fill the void.
It didn't fill the void.
Door you B.
What?
Door B.
That's correct. You got to door B, opened it, and it didn't fill. It didn't work.
Yeah, now what? Not and then suit. You go, now what? Now what do I do?
Yes, that's right.
So,
usually, usually pick another door.
Trade for
right.
What's
yeah,
behind
trade
the
for
curtain.
No, let's take the curtain instead.
The curtain.
Yes.
But if we're coming from love, we don't... We escape that syndrome.
Okay.
What if we looked at all the doors and said, you know what, this isn't worth choosing any of them. That's what I do when I wake up in the morning and have a bad thought. I say, you know what, well, I'm not going there.
So how many people have bad thoughts in the morning? You just kind of find yourself stuck with some heaviness that doesn't even make much sense.
The ego's got me while I'm asleep.
So it turns out, not only is it common in this room, it is common across humanity.
Yeah.
There is a study that done
in cortisol.
Your dopamine and cortisol.
Cortisol.
You have basic chemicals in your brain that make you feel what you feel. Okay? They're just like taking a pill. It's exactly the same. And when you have some dopamine or you have some oxytocin, you feel up and loving and accepting, and it's going to be a good day. But all we have to do is just go in there and just edit out a few molecules of that, and what remains is the cortisol left over.
Stress hormone.
And the stress hormones make you feel vulnerable, make you feel things aren't quite right, and the lack of dopamine is all it takes to make you feel empty, for example. Okay? So, it's absolutely mechanical. In SSRI, you know, the drugs we take for depression, mm-hmm. these things are designed...
To block those things.
That's right, to make the dopamine stay longer in the synapse that the brain relates, that the brain sends transmissions through, and it keeps you elevated.
But that's making the body...
Mm-hmm. That's correct. Let me just point out how much we think the body can give us, which is how I started the meeting. We're so dedicated, the body can give us happiness. I just want to tell you how deep into this addiction you are. So a study was done, and they sampled brain chemistry, and they found that there's this chart through the day where it changes, and very common that right before you wake up, your dopamine sacks. As you finish your dreaming, where you've been using it during your dreams, and right, and you haven't eaten much, and you're fasting, and your dopamine set. So when it's time to wake up, you're at a low point. Mm. And you're like, oh, yeah.
So it's physiological.
It's physiological, aided by the physiology, and every once in a while, for whatever reason, it's not that low. And now you have to find a reason why you're happy. Why is this? You spend plenty of time trying to find a reason why you're sad. Or upset or angry. People wake up angry. What's wrong with my life? Well, okay, that's the bottom. But the same thing can happen when suddenly you're happy. Well, what did I do right? Was it the carrot juice? It's carrot juice! That's what I need before I go to bed. The world's gotcha. It's gotcha. The only way out is through. And the only way through is to be able to see right behind whatever difficulty the light. In this case, we're using the body and your brother. Yes? Somebody had a hand up?
Yeah. Well, you said this before about how AA's 12 steps is like right through this book.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things reading. I was actually with my sponsor today and reading through the big book, and that in your morning meditation, it's like you feel down. It's like that's why you get up, you do a gratitude list, or you get up and you say a prayer, or you get up and just say, thank you, God, I'm alive today. Something that completely switches it to a positive.
Switches it. Now,
some kind of practice, and it can be as simple as just, thank you, I'm still here.
That's right. That's right. Thank you, the gratitude, thank you, both shoelaces are full length.
Yeah. That's a good one.
You know, though,
go check on the kitchen sink. Thank you, there's
thank
water
you.
Today.
There's water. Yes.
Thank you. And what happens is you are now recruiting the body, recruiting, using the body to send signals for the mind to be able to now to go up a step. You're just, the body was using you. When you were depressed, the body's using you. And now you find a reason why you're depressed, because you got to pay that bill. Whatever. And then now it's got you. And down you go a few more steps. No. This exercise that you described, it's to simply stop that. Let's have a shift in perception. It's a physical miracle. Pick some gratitude. Jump up in the air and say, God, that's great. There's water in the sink. Again, this is great. I'm going to go check the toilet. Wouldn't it be great if that works, too? If that works, I'm going to have a great day. I'm just going to check.
Is that what you do in the morning?
Yeah, I'm running around and check the plumbing. Yeah. It's great for me.
The dog already thinks you do it, though.
I got my toilet paper.
I just want to say, too, so I am... First of all, this thing on fear attaches to specifics is like, whoa. Because I'm succumbed with specifics, like in my job and life. But I came into this room, I couldn't really meditate during the meditation. I was just angsty about all these thoughts I was having. I was just silent. Just sit through it. But I started feeling so much gratitude for some of the very early sharing I was just feeling like so much gratitude. It just like lightened and then lightened. And I even wanted to interrupt the meeting to say thank you. It just goes to the point, right? But what I wanted to say is the opposite of that. Like, you know when you're ready to receive or not. And I was very turned off from the beginning. You know, not so much that I didn't want to be here, but my mind didn't want to switch into practicing this. And the ego really had its grip, right?
Yes.
And so I didn't actively, suddenly be like, I'm going to express gratitude in my mind for Mark's comment. But I felt moved by what you shared, and then it just started to turn it. So,
yes.
I don't know, I'm just feeling really grateful, but it's interesting, like, the sense of, I am not ready to receive.
Yes.
I don't want to practice. Yes. You know, I'm, because the witnesses to that will, yes, like, I'll just sit here and wallow. And
yes.
Anyway, so I wanted to say thank you.
Very good, Julie.
Awesome.
Very good. And this is what would be called vigilance. We now would observe what we're doing. Are you choosing fear, terror, smallness? Or are you choosing gratitude, joining, love? Right now. Because whichever you choose, you'll get. So would you rather be happy? Because you have that power. That's one of the things we do here, is we're busting the idea that you're a victim to any unhappiness. So it's just, it turns out, it's one freaking thought away.
You know, the happiest that I've ever been, waking up,
yes,
was not too long ago when I woke up really afraid. I told you this before. I woke up really afraid, and then I looked at the dream that caused me to be really afraid, and I realized how ridiculous it was. And I said, that was my ego trying to get me, and I started bursting out laughing.
Cool. Very good.
It's the funniest thing. I thought, this is ridiculous.
It's right. You looked at the source. Cause and effect are not separated. Cause and effect are not separated. Yeah. And you went right to the cause and said, well, that means ego, and I'm just, ego's just a silly thought of suffering. I'm not going to have that. I don't need what it did either. I don't need the whole picture painted either. I'm throwing it all out. I'm having a great day. I'm going to go check the plumbing.
TikTok. Mom says that the only prayer you need is thank you.
Yes.
Who?
TikTok. Mom, I don't know if that's hyper.
Oh, yeah, Eckhart Tolle, I saw that, was another one. The only prayer you ever say is thank you. That's it with some buns.
It's been invented and reinvented many a time, and it's been done in this room as well. The poor man's I love you, we call it here. It's thank you. It's all I can afford, but I'm going to give it to you honestly. Yes, good. How much time we have? Okay, let's go. Okay, this is a great lesson, but we're going to abandon it now.
We're running out of time. We need to get back to 4:14.
Thank you very much, Luann. You're hired. 4:15.
I'm sorry, I was off. 4:15
in the
You're
text.
You're fired.
Yeah.
That's the shortest job I ever had. It's probably a good one that I got fired from.
4:15, bottom of the page. Who's up to bat?
I'm going to pass.
Okay. Mark, would you read for us paragraph 15?
All right. The ego's messages are always sent away from you in the belief that for your message of attack and guilt will someone other than yourself suffer. And even if you suffer, yet someone else will suffer more. The great deceiver recognizes that this is not so, but as the enemy of peace, it urges you to send out all your messages of hate and free yourself. And to convince you this is possible, it bids the body search for pain in attack upon another, calling it pleasure and offering it to you as freedom from attack.
Go ahead and invest in your brother some attack, some guilt. Put it on him. Rehearse it. Think about it. Dream it. Call somebody and tell them how bad that be. And boy, the ego says that will make you feel somehow strengthened.
Yeah.
The opposite of what 161 is asking you to do. Well, that's because it's ego. Read the next paragraph, Luann.
Hear not its madness, and believe not the impossible is true. Forget not that the ego has dedicated the body to the goal of sin, and places in it all its faith that this can be accomplished. Its sad disciples chant the body's praise continually, in solemn celebration of the ego's rule. Not one but must believe that yielding to the attraction of guilt is the escape from pain. Not one must regard the body as himself, without which he would die, and yet within which is his death equally inevitable.
Investment, the ego's rule, is continue to find the problem outside of you and make yourself feel better. Let's continue.
It is not given to the egos disciples to realize that they have dedicated themselves to death. Freedom is offered them, but they have not accepted it, and what is offered must also be received to be truly given. For the Holy Spirit, too, is a communication medium, receiving from the Father and offering his messages unto the Son. Like the ego, the Holy Spirit is both the sender and the receiver, for what is sent through him returns to him, seeking itself along the way and finding what it seeks. So does the ego find the death it seeks, returning it to you.
I found what you're looking for. You're looking for something that sucked? Found it. And here's the suckiness of it. Self-fulfilling prophecy. But so is the Holy Spirit. Self-fulfilling prophecy. There is love. It is present. And it's now, in this very circumstance, as we struggle to find peace, there's love there too. So cause and effect are not separated. Whichever thought, whichever the source of your thinking, whether fear or love, only two choices, you will get its natural results. You think fear thoughts, you get fear. That's how it works. Because of what you really are and how you actually live. If you think love thoughts, joining thoughts, patient thoughts, honest thoughts, trusting thoughts, defenseless thoughts, you will get trust, honestly, defenselessness, you'll get open-mindedness, you'll have patience because you thought it. Every single time.
It's invasive.
So, once again, seek no further than your own thoughts.
I wanted to say one more thing about what you were saying about the smile. I have been very, very happy lately. And what I'm finding is that when I'm smiling at someone else, I'm also smiling at myself. And it feels like the love of that smile is all around me. It's not like they're sending it back to me. It's like I created it for everybody.
Yeah, you know, the smile, we talked about the smile with Mark's example. And smiles are contagious. Smiles, you know, somebody even said, I think it's, it takes 48 muscles to frown and 7 to smile.
Ah! So why not?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? That because what there is a gravity toward happiness, love, joining, and smiles. It's contagious for a reason. Happiness is contagious for a very good reason. Yes. Related to what you are in truth. Let's have a circle. Take a deep breath. To your witness. Your witness. In this world and where you are, you are a witness, and it seems a bit like a victim because you do witness constantly. But I hope after tonight you recognize that you witness your own thoughts. Seems to be outside you, and in the world it is. But you actually are not of this world. You seem to have a body witnessing other bodies. And you will continue for as long as you uphold this character in this dream. That's okay. None of it means anything, and it doesn't mean anything that it doesn't mean anything.
Thank you very much for giving so much meaning to me.
What's really cool is that in the middle of this, what might be called a nightmare, what's in the middle of this dream is an opportunity. In fact, I'll give you the invitation right now. You choose love, you get love. You look for light, you get light. Your next thought is your life. So, no more question on what's happening or where it came from. Just ask yourself, what would you like your next moment to be? And live that. And that again. And from that again. And so you can be reborn, even here. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you.